This week's shir is on the Parsha Chayisara, and the title of the shir tonight is The Concept of Basheret. So tonight we're going to look at the source from this week's Parsha for a potential idea in the concept of Basheret, which is the concept of a soulmate, that people have a soulmate, or soulmates that are destined by Hashem. So we're going to try to analyze that idea, and we'll see a Gemara that kind of supports that concept. And we'll look through some of the Rishonim on it and try to gain some deeper insight. It also relates to, I think, dating also, even though I'm not in that arena. But I think some of the concepts here are also important concepts for dating. So we'll go through the Psukim. Look in source number one. It's Parak Chaf Dalid. Starts with Pasuk Mem Tes. And the story is that Eliezer found Rivka. And he had the whole test set up for Rivka, that she, you know, and she served his camels and gave him water. Then they go back to Lavan and Besuel, and Eliezer tells them the whole story of what happened, of how he came upon Rivka, and he's decided that based on this story and the Hashgacha, that Rivka would be appropriate for Yitzchak. So at this point, he says to them in Pasuk Mem Tes, Ve'ata im yeshchem osem chesed ve'emes es adoni hagiduli. So he says to Lavan and Besuel that, give me some true kindness and let me know if Rivka can come back with me and marry Yitzchak. And if not, I'll leave here and I'll go to the right or the left. I'll find another girl for Yitzchak. Vayan Lavan uVesuel vayomru mi'ad Hashem yatza hadavar lo nuchal daver ilecha ra'utov. So the response is of Lavan and Besuel that this matter came from Hashem, that Rivka was destined to be with Yitzchak, and therefore we can't say anything negative or positive in the face of this reality, and we can't say no, we can't say yes, it's really not our choice, it's from Hashem. Hinei Rivka lefanecha, kach valeich usi isha leven adonecha, kasher dibir adoshem. So Lavan and Besuel say, take Rivka and have her marry the son of your master, like Hashem, as Hashem has said. So Eliezer hears that Lavan and Besuel are willing to give Rivka to him and so that he could take her back for Yitzchak, and he gets really excited and he bows down to God. So he gives Rivka all these nice kalim, nice vessels, gold and silver, and he gives presents to Lavan and Besuel and Lavan and his mother, and Lavan's mother, Rivka's mother. Okay, so at this point, the Torah is describing to us how Eliezer is asking Lavan and Besuel for permission for Rivka to marry Yitzchak, and they say in Pasuk Nun, it says Me'ad Hashem Yatza Davar, that this matter has come from Hashem. So Rashi learns this idea in a more pshat way. If you look in Rashi in source number 2, it says Vayan Lavan Vesua Rasha Haya Vekafatz Lahashiv Lifnei Aviv. So the first point Rashi makes is that Lavan jumps in front of his father to answer Eliezer. Should have been that Besuel answered, but it shows the rishos, the evil nature of Lavan, that he had no respect for his father. But anyways, the next Rashi Lonuchal Daber Lecha. So Lavan and Besuel, they respond by saying that we don't really have a choice here. Lema'in bedavar, that we can't prevent her from going, from getting married to Yitzchak. Lo yedei tshuvas davar ra, v'lo yedei tshuvas davar hagun. Lefi shenikar shemi'ad Hashem yatza adavar, lefi darecha shezimna l'cha. So they say that we don't really have any control. We can't say yes or no, because it's clear that this matter came from Hashem based on the story that you told us. So Rashi explains that in the Pasuk, when it says Lavan and Besuel say Me'ad Hashem Yatza Davar, they're basically responding to Eliezer that based on the story that you told us and how all the events of the story came true, that you made this test for Rivka, and Rivka came over and she fed your camels and how it came true, so it must be from Hashem. So the Pshat, Rashi's saying, is that even Lavan and Besuel couldn't deny that there was Hashgacha here, that this was divine intervention. And the idea of Me'ashem Yatzah Davar is a chiddush in the sense that Lavan and Besuel, two people who didn't really believe in Hashem, they were incapable of denying the reality of the Hashgacha in the situation when it was presented to them by Eliezer. So that's the pshat. But the Torah Tumimah quotes an interesting Gemara that extrapolates from this story to a much further situation and a much broader situation. So look in source number 3. The Torah Tmima quotes Moed Katan and says, Me'adoshem Yatzah Davar, Lavan and Bisul say that we can't stop Rivka from getting married. It's from Hashem. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Uvain ben Itzdrobli. So Rav said in the name of Rav Uvain ben the son of Itzdrobli, Minat Torah umina neviim umina ksuvim anu lemedim shemeadoshem isha leish. So from the Torah, the neviim, and the ksuvim, we learn out that it's from Hashem that every woman be married to a specific man. Minat Torah dichsev meadoshem yatzah davar. So the pasuk, our pasuk, is the source for the idea of this destiny that Hashem determines that every woman and man who is supposed to be together with one another. This idea of that I mentioned at the beginning of the share of this kind of like a soulmate type concept. So he quotes the Gemara. So the Gemara is actually elaborates on this concept much more. And let's look at the Gemara itself, and we'll try to understand what it means. Me'adoshem yata davar. Because the pshat is that Me'adoshem Yatzah Davar is that there was a specific hashgacha, there was a divine intervention on the part of Rivka and Yitzchak that they should be together and that they should get married. So how do we learn out from here to every case of marriage, every relationship? So the Gemara in Moed Katan, Yud Ches Amud Beis, says as follows. So the Gemara, the background to the Gemara, before we take it up, is that the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, that you're allowed to do erusin, or you're allowed to do erusin on Chol Hamoed. So a man is allowed to betroth a woman. He could do the first part of the process of marriage, erusin. We do it with a bracha under the chuppah. He can do it on Chol Hamoed. And the reason why a man can betroth a woman on Chol Hamoed is lest somebody else come along and steal her away from this person. So you have to be quick. And you have to try to betroth the woman as quickly as possible, because if not, she could get swept off her feet by somebody else, and you might lose out on the situation. So the Gemara asks on that, Miyomar Shmuel Shema Yikadmenu Acher. So who says that Shmuel maintains that we're concerned that somebody else is going to come and take this woman and betroth this woman, and that's why you're allowed to do Erusin, you're allowed to betroth the woman on Chol Hamoed. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So this is the Kasha. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'chol yom b'yom bas kol yotzeis ve'omeres, bas ploni leploni sada ploni leploni. So every day there's a voice that comes from the heavens that says that this woman is destined for this man, and this sada, this field, is destined of this person is destined for this person. So it's interesting. So he says, so the Kasha, the question is, what do you mean? How could somebody else steal this woman and betroth this woman if there's a bas kol, there's a voice that comes from the heavens that states every day that a woman, a specific woman, is destined for a specific man? That's the kasha. So nobody else can take her. So the Gemara answers, Ella Shema Yikadmenu Acher Barachamim. So the Gemara says that maybe another person, another man, will daven to Hashem for mercy, and through his tefillah, and we'll understand this according to the Rashi and the Ran, but through his tefillah, so he'll be able to betroth this woman. So he really loves this. He fell in love with this girl. And he's going to, even though this girl is destined for another man, he's going to daven to Hashem for mercy so that this girl will be married to him. So now there's a story. Ki ha de rava, shame lahu gavra, debay rachami, the amar tis damin li planisa. So Rava, there's a story here. Rava heard a guy who was davening to Hashem, that grant me this woman. He was in love with this girl, and he was davening, and he overheard, Rava overheard this guy davening, that he should marry, he should be granted this woman. So Amar Leh, so Rava said to him, Lo ti bai rachami hachi, you shouldn't ask Hashem for this type of mercy, to be married to this woman. I chaz yalach lo azlaminach, if she's fit for you, if she's really destined for you, then she won't leave you, so you don't have to daven for it. Vi lo, and if not, if she's not, kafarta bat Hashem. So, and if she's not destined for you, and therefore you won't get her, so then you'll be kofar, you'll deny Hashem, you'll be upset, and you'll be angry, and you'll say it's not fair, Hashem doesn't exist. So it's a weird type of Gemara. So basar hachi, shame dika amar, o ihu limos mikama, o ihi tamos mikame. So after a while, after this man married this woman, we'll get to the pshat. So the pshat is, there's two ways to learn this Gemara. One is Rashi, and the other way is the Ran. So let's do Rashi. So this, look at Rashi in source number 5. He says, Kafarta bar Hashem, be'amana, with faith, de ka'amar, de lo misayet slusa klum. Rava is saying that your davening won't have any effect. Ho'o v'lo mizamnale, since she's not destined for you, klomar hashtat slena Allah v'lo istayaya milsa, meaning that Rava is saying to this man who is davening for this woman, it's not going to help. Davening won't help in this situation because she's not destined for you. So if she's destined for you, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to daven. But if she's not, then your tefillah won't work. That's what Rashi says. Amar ilo mintzaba. So what does it mean? So what happened? After some time, Rava overheard this guy saying, Amar ilo mintzaba. If I don't get married, if she doesn't get married, if I don't get married, oh ihi tamas mekamai, either she should die before she marries the one she's destined for. Delo echzi kad mintzaba la'acher ve'etzarba. So the guy will daven that she should die, so that he won't be in pain seeing her marry the one who she's fit for. Or he'll daven for himself that he should die, so that he doesn't see her get married to somebody else. And that's the reason why you're allowed to do Eirusin. We don't want a guy to daven that a woman should die because he's so jealous of the fact that she might marry somebody other than him. So he's going to be so upset and disgusted that he'll daven that she should die. So therefore, on Chol HaMoed, we allow a man to betroth a woman so that this other guy, a guy who's watching, who's really in love with this girl, won't daven that she die. So we're trying to prevent that. So that's what it means. Shema yikad menu acher barachamim. It means that somebody else might daven to Hashem for mercy on himself, that he not witness this, and kill her. So we don't want a guy to daven for that, and we're concerned about that. So that's how Rashi's learning. Okay, keep going in the Gemara, and then we'll explain it. Okay, so up to this point in the Gemara, so let's just keep going. So it says, Hachi Amar Rav, so then the Gemara says, Amar Loch, Amar Leh, he said back to him, back in the Gemara in source number 4, he said, Rav said to this guy, Lav Aminalach lo tibaya la demilsa, didn't I tell you that you shouldn't daven for this? Basically, he was saying that, you know, give up, she's not destined for you. So Hachi Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Reuven ben Itzterubli. So this is the statement of Rav Reuven ben Itzterubli, Mina Torah, Umina Neviim, Umina Ksuvim, Me'ad Hashem, Isha L'ish. It's from Torah, from Neviim, and from Ksuvim, that it's from Hashem that a woman is destined for a specific man. Mina Torah, Dichsev, Vayan, Lava, Nuvisua, Vayomru, Me'ad Hashem, Yatza, Adavar. So that's our case. So in our case, it's really nicker, it's clear, recognizable, that it's from Hashem, it's from Hashem that a man and a woman are destined to be with each other. And there's also a proof from Neviim by Shimshon, that Shimshon was, that his parents didn't realize that it was from Hashem that he married Delilah. So property and riches come from your father, but from Hashem comes an efficient wife. So those are the three proofs. Okay, so it's a strange Gemara, but let me just summarize. So the Gemara says, just again, the Gemara asks, why are we concerned about a woman being betrothed by somebody else on Chol HaMoed? That's why you're allowed to betroth her, because Shema Yekamenu Acher, maybe somebody else will come along and betroth her before you. Isn't there a statement that says that every woman is destined for a specific man, and if she's not destined for a different man, so we have no concern. Why should we have a concern that she's going to be betrothed by somebody else? So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? So the Gemara brings a story. The story is that Rava heard a guy davening for a specific girl. He was in love with a girl, and he was davening to Hashem. And Rava said, you shouldn't daven to Hashem for this matter, because either she's destined for you, and then she won't leave you, and you'll be together. And if not, meaning if she's not destined for you, so then even your tefillah won't work, according to Rashi, because she's not destined for you, and you'll be upset, and you'll be a kofar. And then what happened in the story is that he got so angry that he davened that she should die, or that he should die. And we don't want a guy to daven that a woman should die, because he doesn't want to see her marry somebody else or be betrothed to somebody else. So therefore, we said that she should get betrothed, or she can be betrothed on Chol HaMoed to prevent a jealous person from davening that she should die. And then it says afterwards, Rava says, I told you not to daven for this. And he quotes this Gemara, this Memra, that it's from the Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that a woman is from Hashem, that a wife is from comes from Hashem. So, of course, there's many questions on this Gemara. So, anybody have any questions on the phone line? I think I have a lot of questions on this Gemara. But there's a lot of questions. One question I would say is, isn't there an idea of a schar v'onesh, that a person should be, I guess, rewarded? What's the idea that there's a baskol every single day? What's that concept? Shouldn't at least your wife, or if it is hashgacha, shouldn't it correspond to your deeds or what you do, and not just random that there's a baskol? And also, what is the idea of a baskol? Is there really a concept of a soulmate? In Torah, do we really maintain that there's a soulmate idea? And then furthermore, I don't understand the idea of not davening, because if it's me'ad Hashem, if it's hashgacha, that a woman, that a specific woman be with a specific man, so then according to Rashi, why shouldn't you daven? And according to Rava, why shouldn't you daven? Because we know that tefillah affects hashgacha. We know that if you daven, and if you're convinced that this woman would be good for you, so if you daven, so it should work. So why shouldn't you daven? We daven for other things. We daven for, you know, our kids. We daven for things that we want. So why is this off limits? Why shouldn't we daven? Or why is it a mistake to daven for a woman, for a specific woman that you're in love with? So what exactly is that idea, that concept? What's the problem? So we have, before we define it, we have two approaches to this Gemara. I told you Rashi's approach. Rashi's approach is that there's this idea of Me'ad Hashem is so concrete that even your tefillah won't work. And therefore, our concern isn't that a guy is going to daven and steal the woman away from her destined person. But the concern is that he's going to get frustrated and he's going to daven that she should die so that he doesn't watch her marry somebody else. So the Ran, and then we'll ask one more question after, but the Ran says in source number 6, a different approach, he says, Shaluya kamenu acher barachamim, perush, afo pi shegazer ala adam min hashamayim bas ploni leploni. Even though there's a decree from the heavens that a specific woman is destined for a specific man in marriage, Efshar shetoel tefilas misha'ina benzuga visa'ena. It's possible that a guy will daven and he'll get married to the woman that's not fit for him. Ve'asikna delevisof yomus oyergarshena visa'ena benzuga. But then in the end of the day, if you read go back to the Gemara, what happened in the story was that he was so unhappy in marriage that he davened that he should die or that she should die so that he could marry somebody else. So if you go back to the story, O Ihu Limus Mekame, O Ihu Thomas Mekame, is after they got married, and it did work, his tefillah did work, he was so frustrated in his marriage and so unhappy that he was davening for her to die or for him to die, and therefore Rava said, I told you not to daven for this. So there's two different approaches. Rashi says that the Gemara is teaching us that your tefillah doesn't even work in this area, and it's nonsensical to daven for this. And the issue is that a man's going to get frustrated because he doesn't have any other recourse to getting this woman, and therefore he's going to daven that the woman should die. According to the Ran, no, your tefillah can work in this situation. A guy may not be fit or destined for this woman, but he can daven for mercy, and he can be successful, and Hashem will grant him his wish, but in the end, he's going to be unhappy. And that's what Rava says, I told you not to daven for this. So the question is, what is the machlokes here in terms of how to learn Rashi and the Ran, and in terms of explaining the Gemara as a whole. One last question also. We see in a lot of places that people have bad marriages, and there are a lot of situations where people are unhappy in their relationships. So the question is, Me'ad Hashem Yatza Adavar, does that mean, if there is I know there's different cases here, but there's one from Shimshon, which didn't really work out exactly, but the one from Rivka and Yitzchak demonstrates that they're perfect for each other, they had a great marriage. But what about situations where a person doesn't have a great marriage? So is it saying that a person doesn't have a choice? Let's say Hashem's destined, let's say there's a destiny here that Hashem wants a certain woman to marry a certain man, but it ends up that the marriage is terrible and they're really unhappy with each other. So how is that just? How is that an idea of justice there? And why should that be your soulmate? And if there is an idea of a soulmate, of a perfect soulmate, then everybody's marriage should be great. There shouldn't be any divorces. There shouldn't be so much unhappiness in marriage for many people. So the question is, how do we understand this idea, this Gemara here? A lot of questions, right? So again, just to put down the questions in order, the question number one is there really a concept of a soulmate in the Torah that the Torah endorses? Is that reality? Second of all, what's it based on, and how does it work in the sense that why doesn't your tefillah work in this situation? If I fall in love with a girl, why is it wrong for me to daven that I should marry that girl, or that girl should be attracted to me and want to marry me? What's the problem with that? Why does that go against the idea that it's from Hashem? We recognize that tefillah is an opportunity for man to ask for a change in the hashgacha, for Hashem to grant him certain wishes that he has. So what's the problem with that? And then the last question is, there's a lot of unhappiness in many people's marriages. So if there's really a destiny, where's the justice there? And where's the justice in the concept that you were destined to marry a certain person and yet you end up in such an unhappy situation? Okay, so those are all the questions. Does anybody have any possibilities before I give a svara? How to explain this Gemara? I think it's a very difficult Gemara. But I think I was reading an article from, I think his name is Rabbi Blass in YU, and he goes through all these sources in the Gemara. He pretty much quotes the Rishonim. I think I have a different approach than he does to answering or to explaining the Gemara, but he pretty much just quotes it, and he says this is really the source for the idea of Bashir. This Gemara, and there's another Gemara that we're going to do in Soto, which is similar, but these are really the sources for why people believe that there's this one person out there for you and that you should look for that person and, you know, there's a destiny. So do we believe in that? Does that make sense? You know, we have a lot of questions on it, but how do we explain this Gemara? So I want to try and approach a possibility. I don't know if it answers all the questions, but if anybody, you know, has any questions on it, or, you know, you can always ask. So the approach I was thinking, just in terms of Rashi and the Ran and explaining the Gemara as a whole, is that I was thinking about the idea of tefillah, of davening for a specific girl to marry you. And why shouldn't that work? One of the questions we had is, why doesn't that work? Why is that not a good thing to do? Rava says, I told you not to do that. And we see either way, either according to Rashi or the Ran, that it turns out badly. It's really a negative. So what's so bad about it? So maybe the idea is that a person is, when a person davens because he falls in love with a certain woman, and he's davening that she should marry him. So maybe I'm envisioning a certain situation, but perhaps the idea is that a person's projecting onto the woman, meaning that a lot of times a guy will fall in love with a woman and he'll be attracted to her either physically or by the way that she looks, or he'll idealize a woman and he'll project onto the woman, you know, all the features and characteristics that he wants or that he's looking for in a spouse or in a mate. And oftentimes it's not the reality. So a man will fall in love with a woman and he'll start projecting onto her all these great characteristics that he's looking for. Let's say he's looking for somebody who's exceptionally kind. So you'll project onto the woman without really encountering the woman or having a close relationship, because obviously he's davening in this situation because it's not happening naturally, organically. So he's davening in this situation because he really maintains that this woman is perfect for him. So when you do that, what you're doing is you're idealizing or projecting onto a woman something that may not be there, that may not exist within the woman. She may not have the characteristics that really are good for you, that really fit your natural personality. So the idea, I think, of the Gemara, that it's Me'ad Hashem, is saying that there's a natural compatibility between certain people, certain men and women, where their personalities click, their values click, they enjoy spending time together. But then there's oftentimes where a person feels like, or they daven, meaning the davening is just an expression of this, but they feel like a woman would be perfect for them, but they're really not being honest, and they're just projecting onto the woman, you know, the characteristics and the personality traits that they want or they're looking for, but those don't exist in reality. So I heard a shiur by, I think, Rabbi Moskowitz on this concept, that it's, especially with an attractive woman, a man tends to project a lot of the valuable, good characteristics onto the woman before even knowing the woman, before even having a relationship with the woman. So a lot of times a man will daven for a woman to marry him, but his davening or his tefillah is based on a projection of his onto the woman, what the woman really should be when she's not that way. She's not that way. So maybe the idea of the Gemara is saying that Me'ad Hashem Yatzah Davar, that every man is destined for a specific woman, means that there's a natural compatibility between certain people. And And the idea of destiny means that God created the world in a way where certain women's personalities interact appropriately and best and compatibility with other men's personalities. And when a guy davens for a specific woman, he's going out of his, he's looking for something abnormal or unnatural to take place. And that's really a flaw within the person, that he's davening for this situation because he's really trying to project onto the woman something that might not be there naturally. And instead, a person should try as best as possible for it to happen naturally. Like Rava said, if she's fit for you, she won't leave you. Meaning, if there's a natural attractiveness between you, the two people, there's no need for externals. But if there isn't, if she's not attracted to you, if your personalities don't naturally click with one another, so then to go out of your way and convince yourself that this woman is the woman for me, that's really a flaw. That's really inappropriate. And that's really what the Gemara is teaching us, that a person, especially in dating, should try to avoid as much as possible projecting, you know, our ideal woman onto a person and avoiding the natural connectiveness and the natural compatibility between personalities. So the best advice that Rav is giving is ichaz yilech lo azl minach, meaning that if you act naturally and she acts naturally and there is an attractiveness between two people, so then you'll get together. But if not, so then you're going to either... So now that's between Rashi and the Ron. But if not, it's a bad idea to try to daven for this, because by davening for this, it's really, you're really trying to force the issue. You're trying to create an opportunity or situation where you marry her, but she might not be best for you. She might be just be the projection of your own desires of what she should be and not really what she is. So what's the machlokes between Rashi and the Ron? So the machlokes between Rashi and the Ron, I think, is whether this tefillah is a good tefillah or not. Meaning, if a person davens for something that he thinks is really to his benefit, but really he's completely mistaken, and his tefillah is based on the false idea or false notion, and this would be the classic example. He really believes that this woman is right for him. He believes that she's the perfect mate for him. But really, he's davening under the assumption that this is a good for him. Nobody would daven to harm, unless you're a masochist. People don't daven to harm themselves. They daven for the good. So the question is that a good tefillah? Is a tefillah where a person's premise is that I should benefit from marrying this woman, but in reality, it's not really good for him? Is that a tefillah that's really a good tefillah? Is that a tefillah that's going to be responded to and accepted? Or do you say that, yes, that's one side. So the Rashi says, no, the tefillah itself is inconsistent. On the one hand, he wants this for a benefit, but on the other hand, he's going about this the wrong way and it's really going to harm him. So God's not going to answer this tefillah. It's a tefillah shove. It's a nonsensical tefillah. It's based on an idealized version of this woman, but in reality, he's not really going to benefit. Or do we say, no, that really a person's personal idea of what would benefit him is what Hashem responds to. It doesn't matter that underlying is really it will create an unhappiness within him, but the fact that he wants this, like a person might want $1 million and it might ultimately harm him. Does that mean that his tefillah is no good? No. A person can ask for his personal desires, his wishes, and tefillah could be answered. It's not the idea is that it's not tefillah shove, it's not a nonsensical tefillah just because the underlying wish might be harmful for the guy. So I think that's the machlokas. Is that a good tefillah or not? But the main idea of the Gemara, I think, is, and the main idea of Basheret, is this concept that God created men and women to have a natural compatibility with one another, and natural personalities should consistently attract one another. But when you start to project onto the other person, so that's when there's problems. And tefillah is a reflection of that projection. When a person's so desperate and they don't think the woman's gonna, you know, marry them naturally, and they need a daven for it, it means that they're not really seeing the situation properly. They're trying to look at the woman as something that she may not be. They're trying to project onto the woman and say, oh, she's this great person, she's perfect for me. But if she were perfect for you, then it would be natural. And she would naturally be attracted to you, and you would naturally be attracted to her. So I guess from this Gemara, like I said before in the beginning of the show, there's some dating advice here, which is that you should try to be as natural as possible when you're going on dates. And it's very difficult because in the beginning, when a man and a woman go on dates, they're trying to impress the other person. But there should be a point in the relationship where you feel completely at ease and natural with one another. And if you do, and you're still attracted to one another, that's, I think, the idea of Me'ad Hashem Yatzeh Hadavar. It's the idea that your personalities are compatible with one another. It's built into your nature. It's from Hashem, ultimately. But if not, if you're always trying to impress one another and you can't be natural with one another and you're projecting onto the other, to the spouse or the mate, then you're going to be unhappy. And as the Gemara says, you're going to want a divorce. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to daven. Either, I mean, there's two ways to learn that Gemara, but you're going to be unhappy. Your marriage is not going to be a happy one if you're constantly trying to put on an act and you can't naturally, you can't create an attractiveness and a compatibility on a natural level. So I think that's what the Gemara is teaching us. So there's one other Gemara here. The Gemara is in Tosos quotes it. It's in Maseches Sota, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It's also about the idea of Basheri. So it says, Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Bar Rav Yitzchak. So Shmuel said in the name of Rav Yitzchak, Ki Ava Pasach Reish Lakish B'Sota, Amar Hachi. When Reish Lakish would start learning Sota, he would always say this, Ein Mezavgin Lo La'adam Isha Elifi Masov. Person only gets married to a woman based on his actions. Shenamar Ki Lo Yanuach Shevet HaRasha Al Goral HaTzadikim. That the rod of the Rasha is not going to fall upon the Tzadik, meaning the Rasha's lot will not fall upon the Tzadik's lot. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar of Yochanan. The Kashin Lezivugan Kikrias Yamsuf. And there's another statement here. By the way, can everybody put their mute buttons on? Because it's a little loud in the background. So Rabba Bar Barchana said in the name of Yochanan, Zivugan, which means relationships, pairing people together, is as tough as Kriyas Yamsuf. Shenemar, as it says, Elokim Moshev Yechidim Besa Motzi Asirim Bechoshros. So it says that Hashem, Elokim, he places single people in a house, he marries them, and he also, Motzi Asirim, he takes prisoners out and he releases them with wealth, which is a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Aini, is this so? The Ha Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav Arbaim Yom Kodem Yetziras Avlad Baschol Yotzeis Veomeres Bas Ploni Laploni Bias Ploni Laploni Sada Ploni Laploni. So don't we have a memra that says that 40 days before the creation of man, of each person, there's a baskol, a heavenly voice that says that this woman and this man are destined for one another, and this man is destined for this house, and he gets this field? So Lo Kasha, that's not a Kasha. Ha Bezug Rishon, Ha Bezug Sheni. The first, your first match, meaning your first wife, your first marriage, is based on the idea of mazel, like Rashi says on the next daf. He says, Zug Rishon Lefia Mazel, that a person's first marriage is based on luck. It's out of his control. But then he says the second marriage is based on your Maisim. Rashi, the last Rashi on the next daf, Zug Sheni Lefi Masav, Vekasha Lezivugon Lefi She'ena Bas Zugo. So in that situation, so it's based on a person's actions and his deeds, and therefore he's paired up with a woman based on his on what he deserves, on Schar V'Onesh. So what is the difference between the first marriage and the second marriage? That's the question. But the Gemara seems to be saying that a first marriage is based on mazel, it's out of man's control, and that's why it says that a person is destined for a certain woman before he's born. It's proclaimed by the heavens that a man's destined for a certain woman, bas ploni laploni. But yet, by the second marriage, it's based on your maisim. So what's the difference between the first marriage and the second marriage? So that's the question, right? Okay, so I want to give an answer, and then we'll do this last Rambam here. So the answer is the Me'iri. So the Me'iri says, I'm not going to do it inside, it's a long Me'iri, but the Me'iri basically says that when a person is young, they don't really have any maisim, they don't really have any actions that really warrant schar v'onesh in that situation, because you're under a certain age, then people would get married young. So they're saying that when you don't have any maisim, when you don't have any actions, and you're really young, and you don't really have a fully formed bechira yet, so then your first marriage, that's when you get married, and your first marriage is not based on your maisim. But your second marriage is, when you get older, and if your wife dies, so then your second marriage is based on your maisim. So what's the difference between your youth and your old age here? So I think the idea, based on the Gemara, is one more concept. That really when a person gets married for the first time, you know, there's a lot of strong emotions. in your youth, especially for a guy, but also a woman, there's a lot of raging emotions, and a person, it's really hard to really make decisions. You do make the best decision that you can, but a lot of times it's out of your control because your emotions and your lusts and your instincts get control of the situation and your psyche, and they really are more powerful in your youth. But when you get older and you've already been through marriage, so then lefi maisav, it means that your personality, which has been developed and formed through your actions, through your perfection, or through your evil nature, those will be the dominant factors in terms of helping you decide on a mate and on a spouse when you get older. So the Gemara is teaching us another deep idea about at least what seems to be basheret, which is that when you're younger, it's really a person likes to believe that they're in control of more of the decision making as to who they get married to. But a lot of times it's mazel, like the Gemara says, it's out of your control. It's based on your background, your psyche. It's based on your attractiveness, your physical attractiveness. So all of the raging emotions that man has and a woman when they're younger are really more dominant forces when you get married, and therefore it's really outside of man's perfection, I would say, or man's mind and more rational decision making. Whereas when you get older and your wife, your first wife, dies and you're deciding on a second spouse, so then at that point in your life your personality is more developed and your decision can be more based on what's best for you and what you're looking for in your value system, and less based on all those outside factors, your psyche and your emotions and your biases and all those things. So I think that's what the Gemara is teaching us about the difference between the first marriage and the second marriage. When you're younger, it's more difficult to make decisions based on your deeds and based on your perfection, and your decision making as to your spouse is more or less out of your control. And that's why it's kodim mitzir savlad. It's based on your nature, your genetic nature, your personality, and also beyond that, it's based on a lot of different factors. You have some control. We believe in bechira, but a lot of that is out of your control. But when you by your second spouse, you have more control. You're developed more. So then, one last point in the share. So those are just two ideas. The last point is this Rambam. There's a Shaila V'tshuva of the Rambam in source number 11. It's Siman Tuf Lamed Vav in, I think, the Pe'er Hador, which is the Rambam's responsa. And they asked the Rambam, Shaila, ala kol bidei shamayim chutz miyura shamayim. So they asked him about this concept, that everything is in the hands of the heavens except for yira shamayim. So tshuva almasha amarta ata ki kol maase b'nei adam eina b'gzera melefnei abora yisala hua emes she'in bodofi. So he's saying that the answer is that everything that man does, is it a gzera from Hashem, is true. She'in bodofi l'fichach nostum oschar im halach b'derach tova. And therefore, since everything is decreed upon by God, man is rewarded if he goes in the good path. V'nifran mimenu im halach b'derech ra. And he's also punished if he goes in a bad path. V'chol ma'aseh b'nei adam b'chlal yirashamayim. All of man's actions fall within yirashamayim. Heim v'sof kol davar v'davar mima'aseh b'nei adam bali de mitzvah o avera. So ultimately, man's yirashamayim is really the underlying cause of whether he does good or bad. And if you have the appropriate level of Yira Shamayim, then you'll perform mitzvos and you'll get rewarded. And if not, then you'll do averos and you'll get punished. V'zeshu amru razal ha-kol b'dei shamayim b'minhago shel olam b'toldosa v'tivo. So the whole nature of the world, kegon mine ilanos, types of trees, v'chayos, unefashos, umados, v'gagolim, umalachim, all these different spheres and angels, ha-kol b'dei shamayim, that's all in the heaven's hands. U'kfar herchabnu Beperish Masachas Avos in Yonze. So he explains this in Avos. Vehavanu Rayos. I bring proofs. Vechein betchilas hachibor hagadol asher chibarnu b'chol mitzvos. In the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvos, he also mentions this idea. Vechol miniach devarim shebiyarnu shehem benuyam al yisode olam beholeich umechapes b'hagada min hagados o b'medrash min hamedrashim o b'divrei echad agonim zal ad sheyimtza mila achas yashiv ba al dvarenu. So if a guy is looking for a source in Chazal that doesn't support what we're saying, Shehem Divrei Das Usfuna, Eino Ela Ma'avid Atmo L'Das, V'day Lo Masha Aso B'Nafsho. So he's saying that guy is really, he's really causing his own destruction if he's looking for a Medrash or the Divrei Gaonim that reject this concept of Schar V'Onesh. He said, V'Zesh Amulucha Rabcha Bas Ploni L'Ploni. So what about the statement that there's a destiny that a man has to or is destined for a certain woman. Umamon shel ploni leploni im gzeira shava b'cholhi zos v'advarm kipshuton. If this is really the truth, and this is really pshat, that a man is destined to marry a certain woman, lama namar b'torah, or have a certain field, lama namar b'torah, pen yamos b'milchama v'ish acher yikachena v'ish acher yichalalenu. So why, by the Torah, when the Mashiach Melchama tells people to go to war or go home, he says, if you're worried about another person taking your wife or another person or somebody else taking your field, you go back. So why is there a concern for that if everyone's destined for a certain woman and everyone's destined for a certain field? So the Torah contradicts that idea. He says, V'chi yesh ba'olam baldeya yistapik lo davar zeh achar mashakasa b'Torah? Would a person even doubt this? Is it make sense that there's a destiny to the point where that can't change? Elakach roi lemishu mevin velibo nachal nitol derecha emesh yasim inan zeh mefurish b'Torah ikar v'yisod. He says, make the Torah and the psukim in the Torah the yisod and the ikar. Shelo yahoros binyan v'yasid atakua asher lo tamud ukshim tza pasuk medivar anevim odavar medivar razal cholek al ikar zeh v'soser inan zeh yidrosh v'yivakesh bein libo achi yavin divar hanavi o achacham. So if you find a pasuk or an idea from a chacham that contradicts this yesod, that everything is really schar v'onesh and there's no idea of destiny or fate, so he says, im yatzu divrei mechuvanam b'inyan hamefurash b'torah harei mutav. If you can work out the idea with the Torah, then it's good. Vim lav, but if you can't figure out how this contradiction works out, yomar divrei hanavi hazeh o divrei chacham zeh eini yodei osam. Just say, I don't understand them, I don't understand what they're saying. So this is a great Rambam. So the Rambam is saying that the Torah itself contradicts the idea of this destiny. And therefore he says that if you come across a chazal or a navi or any type of medrash that contradicts the yesod, that man's rewarded or punished based on his actions, and there's no idea of an internal destiny, predestination. So he says that you have to understand the medrash, and you have to find out how it fits into the yesod in the Torah. But if not, you just say, I don't understand it. So the Rambam is clear that he rejects this idea of a predestined mate. But I think with the Rambam, we're also trying to explain Rashi and the Ran on the Gemara. And we're giving an answer, I think, that fits in to the yesod of the Torah, which is that the Torah is not saying that, or the Gemara is not saying that man isn't rewarded or the idea of schar v'onesh doesn't exist. It's not rejecting that concept. It's just saying that man's decision-making, when he's younger, in his youth, based on Sota, or in our Gemara, in Moed Katan, it's saying that man's nature and his natural personality, over there by Moed Katan, is destined, meaning it fits naturally with certain other personalities, with certain women's personalities. And if a person, as I said before, if a person tries to reject that concept, or they're fixated on a certain woman, so the Gemara is teaching us that that's a mistake, that's an error. Me Hashem Yatzah Davar, according to the first Gemara, the way I'm learning it, is the concept that there's a natural attractiveness between compatible people, compatible personalities, and instead of trying to fixate on a person or trying to project on a person, you should allow that natural relationship to flourish and to feel comfortable with another person. And that's the key to a happy marriage and a successful marriage, instead of trying to force the situation, trying to marry somebody that may not be naturally attracted to you, you're not naturally attracted to them. And then the second Gemara is teaching us that man makes more of an error when he's not an error, but his decision making in his first marriage is really subject to error because he can't really control himself as much. And man and a woman as well, they're both at that moment in their lives by their first marriage. There's a lot of factors outside of your control that give you or create an opportunity for you to marry a certain person, like your psyche, your background, your everything, your physical appearance. All these factors are really more essential by your first marriage. But by your second marriage, when you've already been through one marriage, so your personality should be more developed and your decision-making should be more based on a value system and how it fits in with you. So I think that's the idea of Basharit. So the idea of Basharit doesn't mean that there's this soulmate, it just means that there's a natural compatibility between certain individuals. And when you're searching for the appropriate spouse, you should try as best possible to not project onto the spouse. And instead, you should try to be as comfortable, as natural as possible, and see if in that comfortable state you're attracted to one another and you enjoy being with one another, then that's the person for you. But when you try to impress the other person constantly, or you project onto the other person what they should be but they're not, so that's when the situation will be an unhappy marriage, an unhappy situation. So that's what the Gemara is teaching us in Moed Katan. All right? All right, thank you. Any questions? All right, have a good Shabbos. Thank you.